Welcome to Top Score from Classical Minnesota Public Radio. I'm Emily Rees. Here's the thing about the game Heavy Rain. I can't really tell you about it without giving everything away. Those who have played it understand, and if you haven't played it, you're missing out. As a player, you get to follow four separate characters who are all trying to determine the identity of a serial killer called the Origami Killer. And that's about all I can say. Heavy Rain, released on PlayStation only in 2010 by Quantic Dream, took home numerous awards for things like Best Story, Technical Innovation, and of course, the music. French-Canadian composer Normand Corbet had already worked with Quantic Dream on another cult classic game called Fahrenheit, known as Indigo Prophecy in the U.S. Sadly, the music for Indigo Prophecy is unavailable, but you'll get to hear a lot of Corbet's score from Heavy Rain, along with many of his influences like J.S. Bach, Mozart, Beethoven, and Ravel. Normand, thank you for taking time to chat today. I appreciate it.
Oh, pleasure.
This game was really kind of almost an underground hit. I mean, I know Quantic Dream came out with the Indigo Prophecy, which was as well kind of almost an underground hit, I would say. And so when Heavy Rain...
Which I did too, yes.
You did the music for that game.
Yes, with Angelo Badalamenti.
Really?
Yes, yes, yes. Indigo, maybe it could be more mysterious because the name of Angelo was first because he wrote the main team, and after that took the main team and do all the game with Quantic. That's why, you know, they came to me for Heavy Rain because we got a really close relationship with them. Heavy Rain was more easier for them to work with me because they knew me. So I think that's why they called me to do this game.
Because Indigo Prophecy was an innovative game as well. I mean, with Heavy Rain, they just took it one step further.
And yes, yes. It was really quite different to do Indigo and then Heavy Rain because first, Indigo, it was really a small budget kind of game mm-hmm. with only, we got only a few musicians on it. So, but mm-hmm. For Heavy Rain, it was, you know, always, almost all the time between 75 and 80 musicians. So it quite different.
Certainly does speak to the budgetary differences between the two games, but also don't you think it speaks to the generational difference between the PlayStation 2 and the money they would invest into games like that and the PlayStation 3 and the money they'll invest in games like that?
Of course. And now, you know, as Ben Kingsley said that at the BAFTA Award, he said that I think the huge difference now in the game, the technology is really better and more precise, and they put a lot of money on it, sure. But I think the huge difference now, they put a lot of money on the music rather than before because the sound you can get. And I think now they hire more and more film composer to do it. They change a little bit their mind about, you know, the way to use the music on the video game, especially on Heavy Rain. They are really great composer now that working on and they put more money on it, so that's great. I wish that Heavy Rain will help to bring more and more classical people on it. It will be, I think it could be very, very interesting.
It's a very emotionally draining game to play, mm-hmm. and the characters go through just very difficult trials and tribulations. All four of them do as you play through. It's a very heavy, very serious game. But what struck me as I was listening to the music as I was playing through is that your music wasn't heavy like the game. And I think it brought out just a wonderful balance for me as a player to play through and experience that kind of, dichotomy between the heavy emotional game and your music, which was beautiful and very sad, but it didn't seem to bog down me. It didn't bog me down emotionally like the game did at times. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm. I think that was the briefing, you know, because when David Cage talked to me, the first time he talked to me about the game, he said, we don't want to do, a game. We don't want to do a team game. We want to do emotional. We want to do like a movie. So the script is, I think, about 2,000 pages. So they want really a journey and a story about nothing about, you know, killing people. There's some killing things, but it was not really the goal of the game. Because now they said to me that people are getting older and older than playing video game right now, because they used to play when they were young and they're getting tired about, you know, the gun pow, pow, pow all the time. So they really tried to do... And I think they achieved it. They really want to do something quite different. So emotion was always the word that we use mm-hmm. on the game for everything, even for all the investigation and all this kind of stuff. It was always about emotion, mm-hmm. about, mm-hmm. you know, where we want to send the character.
Piano played a big role in your score as well, and I wonder mm-hmm. how you decided to use that particular instrument in a soloistic role, or if it just seemed natural to you.
It's a weird question, because of course I'm playing piano, and at the beginning most of the team were more orchestral, and the piano came a bit later on the process. But we talk about the instrument, and I tried things in solo piano, David was really moved by it. So I think it was, you know, almost an accident. Also, we had to really to be sure that each time you will hear a team, that this team, you will know where you are. So I tried to make four teams quite different, you know. It's quite different that as soon as it will start, you will feel you are with that character rather than the other character. So I think the instrument too was different, you know. For Madison, it was more about a string, small ensemble. Than the brass on the for the other character, but the piano. I think David Cage had a really a big crush about the piano, and I maybe the next video game we will use a lot of piano. I don't know. Even at the end, you know, even after the orchestra was done, and he asked me for more piano, more piano, more piano. So I've done a lot of piano on my own.
Liked it very much. I liked the mix of the piano with the orchestra. And I mean, it's not like that's a new sound. We've heard it for centuries, but it worked so well, I think, especially with the idea of rain falling and just how I think that sound just captured that idea
of
really, really well. Yeah.
But yeah. The piano, what is beautiful with the piano is it is an old instrument, but at the same time, a really modern instrument. And you can do so many things with this and all generation, you know. You don't have to get an electric guitar to touch young people. A piano will touch everybody. So I think it's really a universal instrument.
So in Heavy Rain, there are around, I've heard estimates of about 60 to 65 chapters through the game. And you may or may not, as a player, play all of those chapters, but there are also something like 20 or 22 different ways to end the game. So did you have to score additional music for scenes that a player might never even see or hear?
Probably. Probably. I don't remember how many cues I've done, but I think it was close to almost 300 cues. What I've done with the Quantic Dreams, the way we proceed is, you know, work with teams and different variation of stress or sadness and et cetera, et cetera. Of course, we have done a lot of different ending, and that was the huge difference between movie and video game, because it was exactly the same process. But you have to do 10 or 20 endings, so it's quite different. It's really interesting for a composer, because sometimes you're working on a movie, you think that maybe it would be interesting if the scene would finish like this or would finish like that. And on a video game, you get it, you know? So you have
yes.
You can really explore a bit more about the team, because you can cue in a so different way that it could really be a huge challenge to do.
Done quite a bit of work in film music, correct?
Yes, of course. That's my main job. You know, I'm not a video game composer, and I've done only two video games. So I think now the frontier between the video game and the movie is starting to disappear, really, really. So that's why it's so interesting now. I'm sure in the future they will ask more composers from the film music.
So you mentioned earlier that you're not a gamer per se, but did you have the opportunity to play through Heavy Rain all the way?
I play through with my son because he's so good that he can change the ending all he wants. Me, if I would play, I would stuck at the 5 minutes at the beginning. So it was really a wonderful experience to play with my son because he can really manage to go where he wants. So I play all the game, but he got all the control.
Do you remember how his ended?
There's so much different. And
right,
even
I know.
Now, I would never say this, it's because probably a lot of people never try it because it's not really a 20 million sale. So maybe after the interview, they will say, oh, maybe I will try it. So I don't say anything about how it's the end. It's when you're starting to talk about a movie, you don't say the end.
Right.
So. But it's quite interesting, quite interesting.
And I'm not going to give anything away either. I just in preparation for this, a few weeks ago when I was just starting to play the game, I was looking things up about it and read something that I wish I hadn't read. And so it spoiled a big portion of the game for me. But even with that having been spoiled for me, the game still ended completely differently than I would have expected, which was great.
Of course. Yeah. That's what is beautiful with David, because I think he gets a lot of respect about people who play the game. So he really work a lot on the script, And so I'm really impressed by him, and it was really a small team when it started. And they really work really hard to really go somewhere that nobody went before. So it's really an amazing privilege to work with those kind of people who try to make things different.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that struck me about your score, speaking about your music again, is that Heavy Rain, we talked earlier about it being such an emotional game, and it has very beautiful, I guess I would call it cinematography, really, the way the camera angles show and things like this. And to me, your score made the world in which I was playing seem bigger in a good way. Opened it up into just a really wonderful experience.
But thank you. But that was my job, My job was to bring the game on a level that you really feel to be in a movie, not on a game. But the game, it's like a movie. And especially on this case, it was really like a movie. It's a team effort, that people really, they use my music, and after that they ask me some cues, and after that, I send cues and they recut, which is really a privileged cue because it's really rare that the director will recut his picture with your music. So it was really a give and take with them, It's that why probably the game was so successful, because I think it was really with respect, that they took my music and re-edited the scene and play with it too. So I think we always talk about movies, with David, rather than to talk about a game, So that's why you probably felt this kind of feeling,
I had probably the most emotional reaction at the end that I've ever had for any game. And I've played a lot of games.
But that's great to hear.
Well, yes, and it's that aspect that you're talking about where you're moving through this as you do with characters in a movie, but it's an added element of that because you're, you know, I controlled them. I told them what to do. And I chose things for them to do. And you make some very difficult decisions in this game. And
of course,
some of them you're deliberately putting people in harm's way just because you're thinking ahead and trying to figure out if it will help you. And so when it was all said and done, I was drained.
It's always, you know, about emotion, about how you want to go, how far you want to go to save a life. And so it's really different because it's not, you know, you have to shoot somebody in the corner and after that you have to take care of the other corner. It's, you have to make decision that could change life. So it's, it's really stressful.
You've done two video games, but you've done two video games that are not traditional games. So how would you feel about scoring a game that was a normal shoot 'em up kind of first-person shooter kind of scenario? Would you even be interested in doing something like that?
Of course, maybe, you know, I don't think people will call me to do something, you know, to shoot. There's a lot of people that are really good on it and on this, and I get a lot of respect for them too. You know, it's a kind of different way to do music and things. So there's no bad or better or whatever. I don't want to go there, but I don't think people will call me to do that too. You know, so I'm a more emotional thriller kind of guy than action. You know, I've done some action movies too, but if I get some call one day to do another game, it would be more, you know, about emotion. So we'll see, you know. You know, I'm probably stuck on something, you know, that people will probably look more at me to do this kind of stuff. So, but that's great, you know. I'm happy. I'm okay with it. So there's a lot of people who can do this, the other stuff. I'm fine with it.
When you first started thinking about writing the score for this game, how did you think you wanted to approach writing the music for it?
You know, I didn't get a lot of time to do. So first, I was a bit in panic. So that was the first, because I think I started in June, and I got the musician at the end of August, and I'm doing, you know, I've done almost probably 95% of the orchestration. So I was in a state of panic because, say, so much music and so little time it would be. So the first thing, it was this. But after that, after a day, so I say, okay, where I'm going with it. So I start first by the main character. I say I have to go on it because I don't have time to waste, so I went to the main character first, and so I tried to be simple, a bit naive. It's, you know, it's curious music. It's sometimes you have a concept in your mind, and at the end it just something quite different. You never know where you go. You know, you write a note, and the second note will push you on somewhere that maybe you would never go. But at the beginning, it was emotion about naive, something simple. The theme, it was, you know, more about the relationship that you get with a son. I really tried to be more intimate with it. So something very, very close that you can play to your son, you know.
Four characters had their own theme then. How did you get into the mind of each? I mean, how did that work for you when you were like, okay, here's Madison, and I'm not going to say what she does or who she is or anything, but you have this character named Madison. Did you just learn about her personality, read about her, ask questions about her to come up with a theme?
Yeah, the first thing I get, you know, it was the script, because and some picture. So, but the script gave you a lot to understand what kind of character, and because I know David too, so we talk a lot about Madison, because it is, I think, a important character on the story. So, I think we want something that really, because the girl is maybe sometimes, you know, not so important, some maybe sometimes sexy, whatever. Or but on this game, I think David wants somebody who gets some more depth. And so we went more deep about, you know, the fragile side. Or I want to create something more in 3D than 2D, you know, to do something more about her that will be more close to the main character. So to give her more alive, you know.
In a lot of ways.
And alive.
Yes. Yes. And in a lot of ways, I think in many, many scenes, she comes across as the strongest character. In terms of her inner strength, that's what I mean by the strongest character. She just was a very, very strong woman.
Of course.
I very much appreciated that.
But at the same time, she's human, you know. She really can go in both sides, you know, whether it's bad or good, or you never really know. So that, as I said, you know, you never know where at the end it will ending. You know, it's you just follow your instinct and trying to remember what you read, and you just go. Go for it, you know. Try to do your best and in front of blank pages.
The game won numerous awards, and you did too for the original music. You won a BAFTA. And did you just win that?
No, no. I won the Interactive Academy Award a month before the BAFTA. I think it is really prestigious in the in USA, this award too. But I'm really proud that the game, you know, won to the innovation. They won for the story at the BAFTA. So I think it gives you an idea that it was really a team collaboration. You know, it's
absolutely
it was so. And I was really happy to to win because I, you know, work really hard on it. I spend a lot of time, so especially when you do all the orchestration. It's a lot of work, you know. It's I was really proud.
Yes. Before I played it, I read a lot about the fact that there's no sequel planned and all of this. And I kind of thought that was strange because I knew before I played it how successful the game was. And then I played it and got through my personal ending out of however many possibilities there are. I can understand why they wouldn't make a sequel, because if my ending is different than your ending, how could we have a sequel? Right? So I just hope that Quantic Dream is planning to do something else like this, and I very much hope that you will be the one scoring it.
But thank you. I hope I meet you. I think they really are on the right track, you know, and I think the next game will be better. The next game will, I think, they will go further where they want to go, you know. More and more now, people have a lot of confidence on them, so they will be able to push the limit more, you know. At the premiere, Terry Gilliam was there, and he said that it would be really interesting to do a kind of a video game, because it's an amazing how what you can do with it. So there's no limit anymore where you can go.
And one of the things that Quantic Dream kind of invested a lot of time in, which other companies really hadn't done before, is facial motion capture. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course.
And of course, now we're seeing games like L.A. Noire come out where that's just part of the game. But with Heavy Rain, you really had to depend on reading people's body language and facial expressions.
They really start with Indigo, but in Indigo, the technology was not, you know, as good as Heavy Rain. So, and because they have their own studio, so they are really able to work on it, you know, and be able to do a lot of experimentation about it. It is really, I think, a key about emotion. When you just looking somebody and it start to be alive, you know, just a little move or something that gives you some feeling about, you know, rather than just the eyes or, you know, the mouth or just a move or so I think that it was, you know, the script and this kind of technology that now we can go really a lot we can go further and on this this side.
It's just another one of those advances in technology that very soon will be completely taken for granted.
of course yes, of course. And when you know how much work, it's really incredible the time they spend on this. So I'm looking forward to do some kind of other stuff, because it was really really wonderful to do it.
Sure. We are very quickly running out of time, but I do want to know a little bit about who influences you in the classical world? Who did you think of anyone in specific as you were writing, or just in general as a writer? Who do you think moves you to write the way you write?
It's never the same. It's really never the same. You know, it's but you know, my main composer would always be Bach. The you know, because the way he can. He, you know, I play almost every day Bach.
You know,
and just a little, because I'm not really a good a good piano, but I listen a lot of Bach and a lot of Gould or any other player who play Bach, because you're so jealous about, you know, about the way he can do so many things with three notes. Mazar too. Someday I really hate Mazar. I find it, you know, I find him really too simple or too.
Oh, but Mozart, sometimes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mozart, and yes. And sometimes I'm starting to cry. So it's.
I feel the same way about him. Yes,
it's never in the middle. This guy cannot be, you know, in the middle. It's you listen something. Like the midnight music or thing, and you say, "Oh, it's really not really interesting." But when you listen to the his mass or the Requiem or the 40 symphony, or you listen this or there's the piano concerto in C, and you listen that kind of stuff, you say, "My God, I'm so jealous! This guy is." He's a killer.
Yes.
You know, when you start a day and you listen to that, you say, okay, what I'm going to do? I'm going to go play golf or what I should, you know, where you should start after this, you know. Young, I was a huge fan of Beethoven, and I still a huge fan of him, the way he can do, you know, with two notes the same, you know, as Bach. And
yes.
He's not really a melodic guy, but he can work, he can do a symphony with two notes. That's incredible, you know. That's it's never the same how you can do it. It's really a genius. Sometimes Ravel too. It's really a lot of people doesn't know Ravel, but it's a magician too. So large, so it's never ending, you know. I don't think until my death I would be able to listen all the classical thing and that I want, you know.
Well, I think that you and I would get along just fine in a car with a bunch of CDs, because we would choose the exact same things to listen to. Well, thank you so very much for your time.
My pleasure.
I have kept you much longer than I expected to, but it was such a pleasure to speak with you, Norman, and I look forward to hearing other projects of yours in the future.
Thank you very much.
been listening to Top Score from Classical Minnesota Public Radio. I'm Emily Reese. Our technical director is Sam Keenan. Our next episode will be a bit off the beaten path for Top Score. We'll talk with composer Laura Cartman about her music for EverQuest 2, Untold Legends, and Kung Fu Panda 2. But we also extensively talk about her friendship with her mentor, American composer and mathematician Milton Babbitt. Laura Cartman on the next episode of Top Score from Classical NPR. Like best story, technical innovation. Sorry. Let me try that again.